Please take your Bible this morning and let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 9 down through verse 15. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Today we're going to look at beautiful feet. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts through your word this morning, that you would guide in the message, that it would be led by your Holy Spirit in every way. I yield myself to you, seeking your strength and your wisdom. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The lost are everywhere. There are people who, though they know the name of Jesus, have not yet trusted Christ for their salvation. There are those who are trusting in their own works. But you know what? There are some people who have never had the opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who have not had a clear presentation of the gospel. You know, that happens even in the state of North Dakota. I've read statistics before. I don't have them in front of me now. But of how many children are born in North Dakota every year? New children coming into the world. And not every child that comes into this world comes into a Christian home or a home that attends church, or even a home that attends church where the gospel is preached. And you know, it is so possible, it is so very, very possible for someone to be 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, and has never had the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've heard about all the cartoon characters. They've heard about, you know, they have all of the YouTube access to, you know, videos that they enjoy or whatever. They've got all this information, all this entertainment. But so many in our world lacking the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to recognize the need. But you know what? If that's a need here, even in foreign lands. And you know, the Philippines is a fairly friendly country. I mean, it's not so hostile to the gospel. And certainly there are many churches there and many gospel preaching churches. And we praise God for that. But there are still hundreds, thousands of adults and of children who have yet to hear a clear presentation of why Christ died on the cross, who have yet to hear the gospel message from a biblical, accurate standpoint. And the Bible says, how are they going to call if they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, Cheryl is not a preacher nor a pastor. She's a lady who wants to serve God and who God has called in service. And I thank God for godly ladies. You know, it is so important for ladies to serve the Lord. The church is a place of which we are in great need of the detailed touch of the service of God-honoring women. And you know, in the opportunities that that Cheryl has had, she has been faithful to proclaim the message of Christ. Whether it's in the Vacation Bible School opportunities, which was not just 1 week here and plan another week next summer, it was week after week, and so many times, some of the summers she had 6 or 7 weeks of Vacation Bible School, and literally 1,000 children were hearing the gospel. Not single-handedly, mind you, obviously, but she helped in training teachers. She helped in all of the preparations for that venue, which is extensive. There's so many ways that she has been used of God. Beautiful feet. I want to jump right into the message here this morning on number one. Number one, why are these feet beautiful? Number one, because of obedience. Why does God say here, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are those feet. They are feet of obedience. Notice the next verse, verse 16. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, Isaiah is saying, we've preached, but not everybody has obeyed the gospel. Not everybody has trusted Christ. And that is true. But I want you to understand, just to lay a little groundwork, Cheryl cultivated an obedient heart early in her life. And she responded to the simple gospel message, and she put her faith in Jesus Christ to save her. And that's a starting place. She was born again, born into the family of God, and thereby she has a personal testimony, right? She's been there. She's seen what God can do. She's experienced salvation herself. She is a personal witness. She obeyed the gospel. She not only obeyed the gospel in trusting Christ completely, but she began growing in Christ and knowing Christ personally. She grew to trust him better, to trust him more. You know, as we grow in Christ, as is God's desire, we grow to trust him more. We realize that we can depend on him, for he is faithful. And as we grow in that dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, even in our youth, as Cheryl did. Now, I was not around. But I recognize that she grew in her youth. She cultivated a walk with God in her preteens and in her teen years. She was a servant then. She loved the Lord Jesus then. That's an important aspect of why she has served in not only the United States in ministry, but in the Philippines for the last 22 years. She followed Christ intentionally. She followed Christ intentionally. Notice John 12, the Gospel of John. If you look over there, John 12 and verse 26. Notice the words of the Lord Jesus. John 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, read those next four words, let him follow me. Isn't that interesting? The Lord Jesus says, you want to serve me? I'll tell you how. Follow me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Christ will shine through your life. You see, when a Christian walks in obedience to God, When a Christian engages in actively following the Lord in active obedience and service, there is growth, there is Christ-likeness. And notice there is nearness to the Lord as well. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. There's nearness. But notice also in the last part of verse 26, if any man serve me, would you read these five words with me now? Him will my Father honor. The service of the King. When we follow Christ and when we do His will, there is nearness, there is likeness, there is fellowship. And God says, there's pleasure for me. He said, I will honor. You know, when we honor somebody, it's because we're pleased with what they've done, right? There's a pleasure. To the one who extends honor to another says, they are honorable. And God says here, He says, you want to serve me? He said, follow me. You want to serve me? He says, we'll work together. Because where I am, there's my servant. We'll work together. Talking about the yoke again in Matthew 11, that we would be yoked together with Jesus, that we serve Christ together. The Christian life is not about achieving things on our own or doing things on our own strength. It's about abiding in the vine to bear fruit. It's about being yoked with Jesus so that we can pull the burden together, that we can rest with Jesus. And so we see here that God says, I will honor the one who serves me. I will honor. And so obedience to the gospel. These beautiful feet. You know, when I think about the olden days, or not even so old, because I remember when I was able to go in 2006 to the Philippines, I went for about a month's time. And that was when Cheryl was on the island of Palawan and in the town of Rojas. And when she was there, and that's the really long, slender island, if you look at the Philippine islands, the long, slender one. And I remember the several hour, 2 hour from Puerto Princesa, where we flew in on the little Filipino jet from Manila. And when we got there and rode in the, I believe it was in Cheryl's vehicle, a Jeep or some kind of, I'm forgetting what kind of vehicle it was, a Pajero. And as we rode on those bumpy roads and rough, they were rough at that time. It wasn't paved, although it is now. It's cemented now. But it was rough terrain. And I mean, you didn't need speed limits because the road was so bad, you had to drive slow. I mean, otherwise your wheels would fly off. I mean, it was literally just jaw-shaking terrain. And I remember those roads. And in my stay there, I had the opportunity to leave the little village of Rojas. And I went up with another man up into the mountains of the region there. And we hiked several miles up a stream that was coming down from the mountains. We literally hiked basically through the stream up the mountain. And a few times detouring from that, but mostly following the stream. And we get up to where there was a village of about 100 people. And this man had been making trips up there regularly to preach the gospel. And I had the opportunity to go up with him. And I remember how, you know, I'm a North Dakota boy. I like my socks and shoes most of the time. You know, I'm not used to hiking in a stream with the, you know, flip-flops. And I went, you know, and my feet were sore, but we went there and we had a meeting with those people. There were a few that had been saved in that community. And we sang together and shared God's word with them in a little, under the shade of a little shanty. And, You know, to see the sights and to see the impact that God was making in people's lives was amazing and so beautiful feat. You know, when I think of how God pictures this, He is picturing not people who have traveled in their four-wheel drive pickup to get somewhere. He's picturing people who have journeyed across mountains to take the message of Christ, who have journeyed with a staff in their hand and with dirt on their feet. And they have journeyed and their feet are weary. They are sore feet. They are feet that if for any amount of time, you look at some of those, the people there, the native people, they were gold panners up in that community. And there was people that were in their 40s and they looked like they were 80 because their bodies were so shriveled by the sun. And their feet, they didn't need shoes. Maybe they didn't have any. But they didn't need them. Their feet were just like leather. I mean, you thought they had a pair of shoes on. Their toes were weird, you know. But they were just, they were no problem. That's what Jesus calls beautiful feet. Feet that have endured hardship to take the message of Christ. Obedient feet, number one. Obedient feet. Who have obeyed the gospel of Christ themselves and who have obeyed the commission of Christ. The commission as described in Matthew. Let's go over to the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Jesus speaks these words to his disciples, to his followers, and he says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Notice verse 20. Would you read that first sentence with me? "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Teaching them to observe all things. The gospel message, the message the missionary brings is more than just the death, burial, and resurrection and how to have your sins forgiven and know Jesus personally. Yes, it is that. But that's just the starting place. That's just the beginning. The great commission is to go and tell and is to show and tell. You know, the greatest testimony in the courtroom is a witness. I was there. This is what I saw. The greatest testimony for Jesus is not only what we tell, but what we show. When the Apostle Paul went somewhere, he wanted to live with the people. And even though in the Bible, he says, you know, it would have been right for me to be fully supported and all that. But he says, I chose to work with my own hands because I wanted to show you that I'm not here to get something from you. This isn't my occupation. This isn't my business in terms of profitable, you know, for my own well-being. He says, I came here to work. I came here to serve. He said, you've known my manner of life, my faith, my heart when I was with you. Show and tell. You know, the greatest testimony for Jesus is a changed life. A changed life. In your workplace, what's the greatest testimony you can have to fellow employees? Your words? Telling them about Jesus or inviting them to church? Are those the most powerful things? Now, those should be present. The Bible does say go and tell, go and teach. But you know what? The most powerful things that back up the message, that undergird the message, is our life. We always tell our You know, we tell our children that, you know, or we teach others that, you know, our actions speak so loud we can't hear your words, you know, or something along that line, that the way our actions speak so loudly. Obedience. I think of the testimony that Cheryl has had. And I praise the Lord. Notice 1 Peter 2. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 12. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Notice God's call on the Christian's life. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Having your conversation. This is the way we live our life. Having your manner of living honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your, read it with me now, your good works, which they shall behold, read it now, glorify God in the day of visitation. Wow. The greatest testimony, the changed life. A show-and-tell testimony. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in every area of your life, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God calls us as Christians to be Christ-like. That's what the true Christian is. We've got so many Christians today that are not much like Christ. But we are called by God to be obedient children, to show the world. So number one, beautiful feet because of obedience. Secondly, and I'll go faster on these other ones, but secondly, beautiful feet because of the message. Beautiful because of the message. You picture somebody coming into a village, having journeyed for months perhaps, over rough terrain, and they get there and they're tired and they're sore and they're out of food and they're weary, and they say, I came to tell you something. How refreshing that is. How, whoa, let's sit down and listen. This is something important. And God says, my message carriers, they have beautiful feet, not only because of obedience, but because of what they're carrying. Because of what they're bringing to people in bondage. Because of what they're delivering. Beautiful message. The Bible describes it as a message of peace. Let's go first to Isaiah 52. Isaiah, right in the middle of the Bible. Isaiah 52. And this may have very well be the passage that is quoted in the book of Romans there. Our text passage is probably, as it is written, is right here in Isaiah 52. Notice, if you will, verse 7. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Here's a messenger bringing a wonderful message. You know, I think of the angels that came, I believe it was to the shepherds. Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings. You know, beautiful feet. Because the message is for all people. We don't have to, you know, look in a shanty somewhere and say, oh, sorry, I guess it's not for you. It's not for those who are poverty stricken. It's not for those who are so ill. No, it is. The message is for all people. You can't go into the wrong home. You can't go to the wrong culture. You can't go to the wrong country. It's a beautiful message. And God says those are beautiful feet. Precious feet that are carrying that precious cargo. It's a message of peace. A message of peace. Notice verse 7 here, we're in Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Peace. You have your Bible open right there, and probably across the page or just the next page over is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Notice, if you would, as this passage of Scripture talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice verse 5, Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, would you read this now? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The reason that we can have peace with a holy God, the reason today that we can have the hope of salvation, that we do not have to face eternal damnation in hell, the reason for our peace is his chastisement for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus substituted himself for us. He gave his life that we might live. Do you know that there are hundreds, thousands, millions, even billions in this world who do not know that peace? Beautiful feet, Jesus says, who bring and publish peace. God wants to make peace. When Jesus came, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to liberate the captives. He came to heal the wounded. Jesus came to seek and to save. The message is still a message of peace. That God wants to make peace with you. He wants to meet with you before the judgment. He wants to take your sin away. What a message. A message of peace. Beautiful feet. A message of promise. I could talk about that a fair bit as well. What hope it brings to hopeless homes, to hopeless hearts. The message of Christ. God says those are beautiful feet that would bring help to hurting homes. It's a message of promise. Colossians says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a message of promise. And thirdly, let's go on to notice the beautiful feet. Beautiful because of loyalty. Beautiful because of loyalty. First of all, loyalty to God's word. As important as it is for Christian people to care about those who are poverty stricken or those who don't have clean water, and I think there's a definite place. God's word teaches us that we should care about the poor and the needy. The outcasts, they are on God's heart. But I'll tell you, if just humanitarian aid is all we bring, we've missed the most important message. We've missed the most important provision. And when we come bringing the Word of God, there must be loyalty to the Word of God. We read already in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, go ye, you know, and teach all nations. And then the verse 20, I believe it is, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. God wants us to be faithful. He told the Apostle Paul when he wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. God wants us to be faithful, and beautiful feet are ones who are faithful with a message. Can you imagine if you commissioned someone to go and carry a message? We don't have the U.S. Post Office. We don't have email, and I'll just Facebook them. You send a message. Maybe it was a word of mouth, as our message sort of kind of is a lot of times, although we have the written word. Praise the Lord. But you know what? When we take that message, when a messenger takes a message, it would be very unfaithful, very unloyal to change the message. And I'm thankful for Cheryl's faithfulness to the Word of God. And God says that the loyalty of this kind of messenger that brings and publishes the gospel faithfully. There's loyalty to the Word of God. There's loyalty to the people of God. You know, we, as this church or as other churches, we invest of ourselves to send missionaries, such as Cheryl. We send them out, and there's a loyalty. We can trust the messenger. Well, she's not perfect, mind you. She's a sinner like us, but she's faithful. She will do. She's not going to misuse funds or, it's faithfulness. We send the messenger. There's loyalty to God's people. There's loyalty to God's mission. Loyalty to God's mission. Let's go to John 17. Here's the Lord's Prayer. The Lord Jesus praying in this chapter of John 17. And as he prays, let's pick up in the middle of his prayer in verse 15. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ praying before he went to the cross on the very night he would be betrayed. John chapter 17 and verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He's praying for his followers. For his disciples, for his followers. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, cleanse them, set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Wow. As thou hast sent me, Jesus says, even so have I sent them. Can I ask you, are you faithful with the commission? God's called us to be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. He calls us to not only go and tell, to be actively engaged in seeking people and sharing the message of Christ, but to show and tell. The greatest impact of a Christian's message is the testimony of their changed life. We love the hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And Isaac Newton was a testimony of that amazing grace. A man who was a vile, wicked man who came to love the Lord Jesus and to exemplify what it means to be a Christian. When he wrote those words and penned that, who saved a wretch like me. All those who knew of Isaac's testimony knew that he was a changed man because of Jesus. How beautiful are your feet? Are they beautiful because of obedience? Are they beautiful because of the message you bring? Are they beautiful because of loyalty to the Lord, to his mission, and to the people of God? Cheryl has been faithful for well over 20 years in foreign missionary work. And she heads back. We must hold the ropes. How can they go unless someone sends them? We must be faithful in prayer. We must be faithful in support. Be faithful in communication. Because that makes a difference. How faithful are you in your personal life? What God's called you to do? He's called all of us to be witnesses where we are. Are we faithful? I'd like to ask Cheryl if she'd come at this time. Cheryl, as a token of our thoughts to you, we wanted to present to you this little plaque that you can hang on your shanty. And his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. The Lord Jesus cares for the sparrows. He will care for you, and he will guide you. And we want you to know that our thoughts and prayers and support go with you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for Miss Cheryl and for the laborers, for the sacrifice, for her heart to serve you these many years, and yet to return and to be a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd guide her in the specifics, many uncertainties of this term of ministry, many challenges to be faced. Lord, we pray that she would be sensitive to your leadership, that you would guide her and help her to do what would be not only good, but what would be exactly what you desire. Lord, I pray that you would protect her, not only in the travel of getting there, in the coming week or in the next week, but Lord, that you would just prepare the way for a right place of lodging that would be suitable for ministry, that would be accommodating to being actively involved as without a long commute and those kind of things. Lord, that you would just provide what would be the right and fitting thing for that, and also in terms of transportation and the vehicle. And we thank you for the provisions that you've given. And Lord, we pray that you would provide wisdom in the purchase, and that you'd bring all those things together, and that you would just help her to be a blessing and to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that she might indeed have a fruitful term of mission work. Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you that you watch over us and that you will be watching over Miss Cheryl. Your blessings on her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.